The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany is from Isaiah chapter 40. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is He who sets above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in. Who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when he blows on them, and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom, then, will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. For if I preach the gospel, it gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward, but not of my own will. I am still entrusted with a stewardship. What then is my reward? That in my preaching I may present the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessing. Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives a prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Mark, the first chapter. Immediately Jesus left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons. The whole city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon, those with him, searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson. Last week we looked at Jesus beginning his ministry in Capernaum. And in last week's gospel lesson, while Jesus is teaching in the synagogue, he's interrupted by a man who's possessed by a demon. A couple things pointed out was the demon knew that the Messiah had arrived. He also knew that the Messiah had to defeat Satan in order to free us. Had to defeat the power of Satan. So Jesus cast him out. That was last week's gospel lesson. Today, Jesus leaves the synagogue and he goes to the home of Andrew and Peter. And Peter's mother-in-law is very ill. So what does Jesus do? He heals her. And they make a point in the gospel lesson that she got up and served them. All right? The reason that was probably included was to show that it wasn't just, well, she tried real hard to get up to act like she was okay. She was completely healed and able to serve her guests. Now, did the people get it? They saw a demon-possessed man have the demon cast out, saw all of Jesus' healings. But did they get it? Nope. For the most part, no, they did not. But Jesus came for more than just healing of people. He had a purpose. Do you know what your purpose in life is? No matter what age you are, you have a purpose in life. What is it? That's a question only you can answer. Does the church know its purpose? Well, the church is called to carry on the missionary work of God. Back in World War II, in a concentration camp in Hungary, there was a factory that turned garbage into alcohol. No idea how they did that one. But then they would mix it with the gasoline to make the gasoline last longer. Well, the Allied bombers took out the factory one night, and the concentration prisoners thought, well, there'll be no work today because the factory's gone. Well, they were still woke up at the same time, taken to where the factory had been, and they put wheelbarrows full of sand and moved it from one end of the factory to the other. Guess what they did the next day? They moved it back. And day after day, they kept doing this as the factory around them was being rebuilt. And the prisoners realized that all their work was futile. Story goes that one cracked up, crying so bad that the Germans shot him. Another was beaten. One that had been a prisoner for 3 years finally had it. Life had no meaning if it was just moving sand. So he ran towards the wire that said, cross this wire and you're going to be shot. Their lives had no purpose. Jesus had a purpose. And it wasn't just healing thousands of people. The healing, that grabbed the people's attention. You can heal thousands of people, you're going to get their attention. All right? He also did the healing to prove the Old Testament prophecies about that was correct, but he was also trying to get them, grab their attention. He preached a message of repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. That is Jesus' teaching summarized. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Remember the story when the men caught the woman caught in the act of adultery and they were going to stone her? And they got the rocks together and they were about to stone her, and Jesus says, he who has no sin, let him cast the first stone. In other words, these men needed to repent too of what they had done. By the way, that story is so abused in society. You know, he who is without sin casts the first stone. Someday I'm going to preach on that lesson to really teach what it's about. But his mission is clear. Began back in the Garden of Eden. Back with Adam and Eve, when it was told that he would come and take on the serpent. Salvation, and this is coming from Scripture, and Acts chapter 4. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. In a way, you can look at it this way. God's a missionary God. He seeks the lost, and he offers forgiveness. Now, back in the Old Testament, his people were to carry out that message to their neighbors, and that didn't work out so well. But God had told Abraham, you're going to receive the following things: land, offspring, and be a blessing to the nations. The Bible is an account of how God brings the world back to the first three chapters of Genesis. God's whole salvation plan to bring creation back to perfection is what the Bible is about. God's people were to carry out that message, and they didn't do it. Tragedy of the Old Testament people as they forgot God's promise. They got preoccupied with their history, and they would boast in their successes. Now, the prophets would point out their sin, but also point out the fact you're supposed to be a light to the Gentiles. In other words, he was saying to the people of Israel, when the Philistines look at you, they should see something so special going on in Israel that they want to be part of it. They weren't sending out missionaries to convert, say, the Philistines and the other nations around them. They ignored the Gentiles to the point where if a Jew is walking down the street and he realized that the house over here had Gentiles, he would go completely around without falling. There we go. Completely around the Gentile house. So I don't have to even touch their property line. Now, is that exactly what God had in mind for him to do? No. The people of Capernaum heard what Jesus was doing with all the healing. There wasn't an appointment needed, just bring your sick and he would heal them. Can you imagine the healing? You don't need a doctor. Of course, they didn't have it quite the same way as we do. But all of us who have aches, pains, and other things that need to be taken care of, imagine no embarrassing physical, sitting on a cold doctor's table. I swear they put those things in their refrigerators. That's just me. And then they always have shiny, scary instruments on the counter. Imagine not having to go to the hospital and wearing a gown that doesn't close in the back. Why can't they make one that closes in the back? They want to embarrass you, is my thinking. All right? But imagine you don't need that. No blood pressure checks, no cholesterol checks, no blood sugar tests, no prescriptions. How about no copays? Just healing. Peter's doorway becomes crowded with the blind, the lame, the crippled, and the possessed. It says Jesus had compassion on them. They didn't come to hear the words of salvation. They came just for the healing. Next morning, Jesus gets up when it's very dark outside yet, and he goes off to pray, and the disciples find him and say, everyone is looking for you. And he says, let us go to the other villages where there he would preach. Going back to the healings there in Capernaum, Mark adds an additional story while he was in the house of Andrew and Peter, that this is the story where the men brought their crippled friend who was on the bed, got him up on the rooftop, pulled the roof open and lowered their friend. Man was lowered down. The very first words that Jesus said to him was not, you are healed. It is, your sins are forgiven. Anyways, going back to Jesus preaching forgiveness. When he met the woman at the well, he preached. When he was with his disciples in the boat, he preached. God the Father was on a mission to bring forgiveness. salvation. That sins are forgiven, eternal life is offered, and there was peace with God. All right. Now, how is there going to be peace with God? Our sins would end up being nailed to the cross. John writes, "He came to that which was his own, but they did not recognize him. He made his dwelling in our midst, and we saw his glory." St. Paul tells us that Jesus became human. He humbled himself. He lived out our temptations. He lived out our lives and our hurts. And he took them and nailed them right to the cross. Upper room after the resurrection, Jesus gives the disciples the Holy Spirit. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was more visible. And the disciples would be able to do great miracles. You know, when the Holy Spirit dwells within a person, there is a desire to share that gospel with others, to make the blind, the spiritually blind, see Christ. The Holy Spirit leads us to repentance, and the Holy Spirit strengthens our faith. Now, how do we prevail over the world? Well, the Holy Spirit gives us the power through the Word of God. There, the Holy Spirit is present. If you look at the holies of holies in the temple, it wasn't holy because they had the Ark of the Covenant in it. It was holy because that the living God's presence was there. This is an old story, and you probably heard it. Missionary Society sent out a missionary to these people in a distant land. And he knew what his work was to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to these people. And when he first mentioned Jesus to them, the natives said, "Oh, he was here." And the missionary says, "What do you mean he was here?" "Oh, he was here about 5 years ago." "What?" "Oh, yes, Jesus was here. He became just like us. He lives amongst us. He became like us. He, in fact, began to look like us." And they said, "We can prove it that he was here, that Jesus was here 5 years ago." And they take him to the grave of the previous missionary. Now, the previous missionary must have blown it a little bit because they shouldn't have seen him as Jesus. But he was living out his life in such a way that it was so like Jesus that the people had a trouble telling the difference. There's gospel without words. Listen to how the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Then, in conclusion, Ephesians 2:10, "Then go and do the good works God has prepared in advance for you to do. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen."